The month of November is the time when there does be a rush for pollock in the island. One fine day, when the ground is hard with frost, with a little air of wind from the east and a fragrant smell from the sea, I wandered out of the house and stood a while, thinking. Then I made my way to the house of Porrick O'Dowler. Porrick was before me at the door. "A fine day, Porrick." "It is, thanks be to God, and a good day for the sea." I went inside the house, and who would be there but Paddy Tim? "It's a fresh day, Paddy." Porrick came in. "Do you know what I was thinking," said he, "that it would be a good day to go fishing pollock on the Wild Bank?" "And spend the night in the Innis," said I, delighted.
"I dare say we will do that," said Porrick, "but get ready now and don't delay."
The Wild Bank lies to the southeast of Inishvikilawn, a good way out in the bay. We were across the great sound now, and there's no doubt but it would delight a sick man at that time to be looking north and south at the seabirds, hunting over the wild sea. Soon we saw a guillemot a little way off to the south, with her young chick behind her. Above them was a great black-backed gull, and he's swooping down at the chick.
"Musha, isn't the gull a treacherous bird?" said Porrick O'Dowler.
"Not at all," said Paddy Tim. "Isn't he trying to fill his belly? And isn't it the same thing you're trying to do yourself with the pollock on the Wild Bank to the south?"
"Ah, that's talk in the air," said Porrick.
"Why so?" said Paddy. "Upon my word, I see no more treachery in him than there is in yourself." We were making the Innish by this time, and my heart beating like a watch with delight, for I was never yet up on the island. "It is growing late," said Porrick. "The best thing we can do is to go ashore for the night, and we can rise with the sparrow's chirp in the morning." I looked west towards the island. "Musha, Porrick," said I, "isn't it a beautiful sight that is around and about us?" "I swear," said he, turning to me with a laugh. "As soon as I clear the horse's mouth westward, it seems as if a cloud rises from my heart. Maybe it's because I was born in the Innis." We went in onto the shingle. We turned our faces up into the island and climbed an old path through the cliff. Soon I saw the house above me at the foot of a little hill with fine fields around it. We had three dogs with us, and with their ears cocked, they ran off before us through the island. Hundreds of rabbits were to be seen making hurriedly for the warren. In a few moments, the whole island was in confusion. The sheep running wild, the goat fleeing for its life, the birds screaming across the fields northwards to the lonely reefs. What wonder? When did they last see a man of this world? I thought of Robinson Crusoe when he landed on just such an island. Two of the dogs came running up to us, each with a rabbit across his mouth. They threw them down at our feet and then made off again. "Fate," said I, "if they keep this up, we'll have spoils tomorrow." When we came to the ditch of the field outside the house, a start was taken out of me. I stopped and listened. "I hear it," said I, "in my own mind, the sweetest music I ever heard." I heard it again. My heart leapt. "Porrick," said I, "do you hear anything?" He looked at me and listened. "I swear by the devil," said he, lifting his cap and scratching his head, "that all who ever died in the island are above in that house making sport." I didn't doubt him on account of the reputation of the place for fairies, and a shudder ran up from my little toe to the roots of my hair. Porrick looked at me again. He was smiling. "Did you never hear a petrel?" "I did not." "That is a petrel now."
"Where?"
"It is inside the ditch." I listened again, and true enough for him, I could hear it. Clearly now, the sweetest song ever heard by mortal ear. We went up to the house, a low little hut with a felt roof, runes and plenty around, weeds and nettles growing among them. We went inside. It was nice and clean, the walls whitened with lime, and a little room below. I looked up at the walls, which were covered in cobwebs, and a picture of Moses as black as soot. "I suppose, Porrick, this is here since you were born?"
Oh, it is, and for ages before me. Let us go out now and cut some fine, dry ferdin for the night. Soon each of us had gathered the makings of a good bed. I opened two of the rabbits and hung the other two outside the door on a nail. We soon got the look of a hearth on the place. We sat down to dinner, and a savoury dinner it was. A fine stew of rabbits and plenty of soup. When we had eaten our fill, "Faith," said Porrick, "I'd better go out now and lay 20 traps or so, and maybe we will have another dozen of rabbits tomorrow." We soon had our beds made, each in his own corner, and stretched ourselves out after the weariness of the day. "Don't be sleepy in the morning when the two of us will go out and draw the traps," said Porrick, "for the black-backed gull is the very divil for the rabbits." Before long we fell asleep. About 2 o'clock I awoke. There was nothing but darkness and the sound of the other two snoring. I was seized with fear when I saw where I was, thinking of all I had ever heard about the fairies. The moonlight was pouring through the window. As I lay thinking, what did I see but a human hand pass across the window and take up the two rabbits I had hung on the nail. I leapt up and I tried to scream, but the tongue swelled in my mouth. I could see him clearly now. He had a horn peaked cap and the clothes of a sailor. "Oh, Lord," I cried, "save me from the fairies." I got up somehow and went over to Porrick and gave him a kick which lifted him clean out of the ferdin. "What's on you?" said he, looking up in the moonlight. "Oh, Porrick, Porrick, it's someone I saw outside the window going off with the rabbits." "Much of my pity for your brass head," said he, stretching back again into the ferdin. I lay down once more, and at last I fell into a light doze. How long I was asleep, I don't know, but when I awoke, Porrick was calling me. "Oh, Lord," said he, "the bright day is here." "It is not. It's only the light of the moon." "What were the delusions that came on you last night?" said Porrick as he lit the lamp. "Upon my word, there were no delusions at all. But the man was there in his own shape, and I'll bet anything you like that the rabbits are not on that nail now." "Aram, man," said he, turning to me when he had the lamp alight, "don't you know that no one dead would take the rabbits?" "I don't know, but alive or dead, he took them." "And where is the living man on this island?" "Isn't that the whole matter?" As he reached the door, he struck something heavy with his foot. "What the devil is this?" said he, stooping to pick it up. "Ah, oh, you're sold to the devil. It's a big tin of tobacco." "Faith, Morris, you were right. The rabbits are gone. A sailor must have come ashore and taken them." We started out to draw the traps. We were now across the field to the south. We heard a cry from a gull, then another, as if they were closing around something. "Och, bad cess to them, they have the rabbits eaten," said Porrick, leaping over a rock, and I after him, ever and ever, till we came to the first trap. They hadn't done much damage to the rabbit. We drew it out. Then away with us as fast as we could by the rock's foot to the east, and then by the spring meadow to the south. Away with us again to the bird cove in the west, and there we heard the olagon from the seals and the shingle below. Anyone who had no knowledge of them would think that the living and the dead were gathered there. I wonder, Porrick," said I, "would you believe that those are men under magic?" "I would believe it, for they are just like old women keening." "Ah," says he, "the strand does not wait for milking time." Away he went, and I after him, my heart out in the palm of my hand, for I had a dozen rabbits on my back, and I couldn't keep up with him. Only that was not the trouble, but the island was full of holes covered with ferdin. That way it was often, when I put out my foot, I would go down a hole up to my hip, and then away with me on the crown of my head and the rabbits on top of me. I was blind out, down a hole and down a hole, till at last I became so out of humour I wished the island and the rabbits to the old fella.
I looked around. There was nobody to me or from me. "I wonder, am I long here?" said I. "God, send me on the right road," I prayed. "Where's the house now? Where's Porrick?" I went on among the rocks, stooping low and thinking again of all who ever died in the island. And the more I thought them, the more I became afraid. I was glancing into every hollow in the rocks for fear there would be anyone from the other world within. Then I heard a couple of coughs, such as you might hear from an old man. My heart leapt. I stopped. I remained in the same posture, my two eyes thrust into a dark hole, for it seemed to me that it was out of that hole the coughing came. Then I heard the coughing again, loud and strong. I could stand it no longer. I let out a roar. When the thing within heard me, out he came with a rush, and when I saw the big white mass making towards me from the hole, I let out one shout and fell out of my standing on the clump. And just as I fell, I saw what it was. A big wether belonging to Porrick O'Dowla, and away he went down the hill at a gallop. "Ah, Musha," cried I, when I got back my speech, may the big fella take the head from your scroggle. You know, it's my firm opinion that it is thus ghosts are made for many on this island. For my own part, I have seen two apparitions in one night. Before long, I heard a hand whistle, and my heart leapt again. "Where are you?" called Porrick's voice. "The divil I know where I am," I cried. "I'm going astray." "Don't stir so till I find you." I sat down in a clump, exhausted. Soon he was above me. "Come up," said he. "The divil take you. Where are you all the night?" "Faith, man, I couldn't keep up with you." But not a word did I say about the sheep, for fear he would be mocking me forever. We went up to the house to find Paddy Tim still fast asleep. I gave him a kick in the side. After breakfast, I wandered out again, and there's no doubt but, oh, it was a heart-lifting day. "Faith, man," said I, "it looks as if we will have a good day's fishing on the Wild Bank." "We'd better be moving off so, in the name of God," said Porrick, rising from the table and clearing away the things. We went down to the strand. Soon we had turned our faces to the island and our backs to the Wild Bank, myself on the bows, the other two putting the lines in order. In the end of all, the boat was down to the gunwale with fish, so we turned our faces homewards, well satisfied with the hunting of the day.